This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of The Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to The Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Amateur Traveler, episode 376. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about mountains and stav, churches and fjords, as we go to Western Norway. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. This episode of the Amateur Traveler is sponsored by Viator, which is a great place to find, especially day trips. That's what I've found good use for Viator for. There are certainly some day trips from Norway. When I checked it out, I found evening cruises on fjords and Oslo excursions and day trips, and also discounts on an Oslo pass. So check that out at amateurtraveler.com/tours. Before we get into this week's episode, I do have three news stories for you. The first one is not exactly a travel story, but I found it fascinating. A woman who was in a car accident, an Australian woman, ended up with a French accent. There is apparently a rare neurological disorder called foreign accent syndrome, where a brain injury can give you a foreign accent. And the article I linked to references a British woman who started speaking with a Chinese accent after having a serious migraine. Fascinating. And then my congratulations go out to Carol Anders. You may not know Carol, but you may have seen her. She has been a United flight attendant for 50 years. She has celebrated 10 million miles in the air. And just to put it in perspective, for her 50th anniversary working there, she started in 1963. She put on a uniform like she wore originally, a blue blazer, a pencil skirt, a pillbox hat, and of course, a string of pearls. She also put back on her white gloves. And then in a tragic and stupid story, a dolphin died in China after too many tourists decided to make it pose for photos. For 30 minutes, they manhandled the dolphin, and they show a picture here of them holding the dolphin out of the water, and the dolphin died. And this is something I'm sure that you intelligent listeners of the show would not do, but try and encourage those around you when they're dealing with wildlife not to be stupid. For links to all three of those stories, check out the show notes at amateurtraveler.com. I'd like to welcome to the show, and I'm going to mutilate his name here, but I'm going to say Øystein from Norway, come to talk about Norway. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And that's about as close as I'm going to get to pronouncing your name. Can we hear you pronounce it one time?
Sure. It's pronounced Øystein.
Excellent.
So I think you were pretty close.
And thank you. So you live in Norway. You're from Norway.
Yes.
Why should someone come to Norway?
Well, I thought about that question for a long time. I think Norway has something to offer for everyone. Unless your picture of a great holiday is New York City, I think you will love Norway. I think Norway has some of the most interesting scenery you will find anywhere in the world, especially if you like hiking and outdoor activities. We have some very accessible mountains, national parks, coastal areas, which we're going to talk about today. Also, The cities has something to offer for people that are interested in history. I know you are interested in history, Chris.
Absolutely.
If people want to learn about a country that they not necessarily learn that much about in school, they should come to Norway.
One thing I would say is we have friends who have done a tour of Western Norway, which we're going to talk about, and especially the fjords and Bergen and all of that area. And then I've also done a cruise from here up to Alaska. And we were talking to them about that, and they said, if we're going to do both, we have to do Alaska first. Oh, why? Because Norway would ruin Alaska for us because it is so much more beautiful, is what they said. So we will get to that. But first, what itinerary would you recommend for tackling Norway in, say, a week or two?
The itinerary, which I did together with my fiancé this summer, or last summer, sorry, we started off near Bergen, which is on the largest city in the west coast. From there, we drove to a small industrial town called Odda. Odda is not very nice in itself, but it has some very cool scenery that you can access from Odda. It's also the home of a large agricultural area for cherries and apples and orchards in general. So it's nice to see them when they blossom. From there, we went further up to a small town called Lærdal, which was the capital of salmon fishing for the English lords back in the 1800s. Or not capital, but it was a very important place where they came from England to go salmon fishing. From there, you can go to and visit one of the nicest stave churches we have in Norway. Mm-hmm. From there, we went on to one of the fjords that are on the UNESCO World Heritage List, which is called the Nærøyfjord. Onwards to Jotunheimen, which is a national park, high mountains national park, or Norway's mountains, but we don't have that many high mountains. But where the high mountains are, that's in Jotunheimen. From there, we went to Trollstigen, which is a very winding road, like a hairpin winding road that is very famous for Norwegians. I don't know if, how impressive it is for foreigners, but from there we went to a fjord called Geiranger, which is also on the UNESCO World Heritage List. And in the end of the trip, we ended up in a place in northern Norway called Brønnøysund, which is where they have very cool mountain just outside that looks like a hat with a hole in.
Now, how long was that whole trip? That's quite a lot of places.
It is. It is a bit under 2 weeks, but we had our own car.
Mm-hmm. And so that's something you would recommend is renting a car for those of us who are flying in is necessary for the itinerary that you were recommending.
If you want to do everything that we did, I think you need your own car.
Okay.
But you can easily see these places by public transport, but I don't think you could do them all in 2 weeks.
Right. And then I assume we're also recommending going in summertime when the days are longer, so we also have a little more light to play with here.
Yes, that's correct. Okay. And also the climate is much nicer and more pleasant.
Okay. Well, let's go back to the beginning. Let's roll it back to Bergen. In preparation for this, I'm looking at the Norway map, and every time I look at the Norway map for Western Norway, for the Bergen area, I'm again just reminded that even on the map, it's obvious that this is a different kind of place because we're talking about a place where the fjords come in and they're so long that they're more than a third of the distance across the whole country.
Yep.
And so Bergen is right there in between with fjords north of it and fjords south of it here in that area is where we are. Okay. So in Bergen itself, what should we see? What did you see before you headed out into this countryside? Because much of our trip, as you said, is not New York City, it's countryside.
Yeah, exactly. If you want to, I can talk about Oslo first, because that's probably where most of
that'd be great.
Tourists will arrive. Oslo is the capital of Norway. It's not a big city. It has 700,000 inhabitants, approximately. Mm-hmm. I know that doesn't sound big to an American, but even for a Norwegian, it feels smaller than 700,000 people. We're only around 5 million people living in the country. Oslo has great trekking possibilities around the city. You can catch the subway straight into the woods. I mean, literally straight into the woods. You walk off and there's nothing there but woods and a nice view.
Is there a particular stop you would recommend if we're going to take the subway off into the woods?
Yes, it's called Frognerseteren.
And we're going to have a lot of these names in the show notes.
Yeah. Yes. It's the last stop on the number one line.
Okay.
And if you ask anyone, they will tell you where it is.
And we say ask anyone, that's actually probably a good place to mention that despite the fact that I'm especially going to stumble over the Norwegian names, you're going to do them very confidently. We're also going to run into a country where a lot of people speak English.
Yes, yes. Good point. Most Norwegians speak English. Maybe you will struggle a bit with older people, but yeah, most Norwegians speak English.
Okay.
And if you're German, a lot of the people that do tourism speaks German and some speak Spanish as well. But okay. Definitely English, yeah. You can do short day hikes in the woods surrounding Oslo, or you can just take the subway up and look at the view. There's a nice view from the subway as well going up. I recommend you sit on the left side if you're going up and get the best views from the subway trains, because they don't go under the ground at that point. They go above the ground.
Hmm.
In the wintertime, if you have skis or know someone you can rent skis from, there are very good cross-country tracks in the forests around Oslo where you can go for miles and miles.
Excellent.
And they also have manned cabins that serve coffee, hot chocolate, and waffles and other stuff that you need when you exercise. Also has a ski resort. It's not very big, but you can take the subway to that as well. There you can rent snowboards or downhill skis or whatever, if you're up for that. But it's not big, so you don't come to Oslo just to do downhill skiing.
Okay.
Oslo also has some nice islands out in the Oslo Fjord. Oslo is situated in the end of the Oslo Fjord. And the islands are very popular in summer, where the locals go take the boats out and lay on the beach or have a barbecue. Or there are also some ruins there that you can check out from a monastery. It's a very nice place to just, if you have an extra day or if you have half an extra day, just to relax and see Oslo from the fjord.
And what was the name of the island again?
And there are several. The main island is called Hovedøya, which actually translates into the main island.
All right. So,
yeah. And if you have a subway card or a bus ticket, you can use it on the boats to go out.
Hmm. I'd have to say I'm already impressed with the Oslo subway system, and I haven't even been there. So,
well, I'm going to make you a bit less impressed by the subway system now by telling you that the prices on the subway are steep. It's not. We can't get past that. Okay. You should look into when you arrive and go to a manned stall where they sell subway tickets and just tell them how many days that you're there, or maybe the tourist information center, and just tell them how many days you're there and what you're planning on seeing, and then you can get some info about which subway card you should choose. There are some for 24 hours, some for a weekend pass. There are some tourist special cards where you get a long weekend and free access to a lot of the museums.
Hmm.
So you should definitely look into that before you just, and definitely not just hop on the bus and pay the fare, because it's $10 US.
Okay. And before we leave Oslo, you mentioned museums that might be included. Do you have a favorite museum?
I do. The Viking Ship Museum is my personal favorite. Yeah. It has three Viking ships, original Viking ships. One is almost completely restored, and it's very majestic and very impressive to look at. It's a bit out of the city center, but I highly recommend going there. There are also some other interesting museums around the Viking Ship Museum. There's an open-air museum called the Folk Museum, where you can actually see a stave church that was moved down there, and also examples of traditional building techniques in Norway, sorted by regions.
Now, here would be a good point, then. This is the second time we've mentioned a stave church, to mention what a stave church is. That's not the type of religion, that's the type of architecture.
Yes, correct. A stave church is a church that is, I think it was found throughout Scandinavia, or at least in Norway and Sweden before, but now there are only churches in Norway remaining as far as I know. Stave churches are named so because they are held up by staves, or like big pillars made of wood. And they're normally very beautifully decorated on the outside with dragon heads and carvings and woodwork. Yeah, I don't know if I can compare it to another type of building, but I showed it to some Canadians last week, actually, and they said it looked like some Japanese pagoda. I don't know if it's an apt comparison, but certainly an interesting one because it has levels of roofs going up. So I think that's what they meant.
And as I recall, there aren't nails in a stave church. It's all wood construction and held together with notches and things like that.
Yeah, I think they maybe have some wooden nails somewhere.
Right, okay.
But certainly not, yeah, exactly, but not metal nails, yeah. Mm-hmm. And just to mention one last thing about Oslo, is in the summers, the people of Oslo like to go out in the parks and barbecue and drink beer or soda, if that's what you prefer. It's not legal to drink alcohol openly in public, but as long as you do it in the parks and you behave well, the police won't bother you. Mm. So that's a nice tip to have, since alcohol prices are not exactly the cheapest in Norway.
All right. Anything else we want to cover in Oslo before we go back to the West Coast?
We have a park that's called the Vigelandspark. It's a statue park donated from a sculptor called Gustav Vigeland to the city of Oslo. I don't think the statues in themselves are very impressive, but the park is very unique in the sense that all the statues are made by the same sculptor. And it's a cool park, and it's a nice place to take a stroll after a long day walking around the city.
Excellent.
And we also have a new opera building. I have to mention that because we're very proud of the opera building. It's made by a local architect firm that has also made some installations on Ground Zero in New York and the new Library of Alexandria in Egypt.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a stunning building. I have been to that.
There is one cool thing you can do in winter, and that is that you can take the subway up. It's the same line that you can go to the woods and to the ski resort, but you can also take it to a place where you can rent
sleighs.
Yeah, exactly. So, and you can use them to go down the old 1952 bobsleigh course from the Olympic Games in Oslo in 1952. And then you can just catch the subway up and go one more time. And just use your subway cards to do that.
Excellent. Well, should we go back to the West Coast then?
Yes, let's go back to the West Coast.
Now, you named a lot of different destinations in the West Coast, and I don't know that we're going to have time to go into the detail on all of those. So let's hit some of the highlights of, for instance, when we're in Bergen, what should we do or see or eat?
To get to Bergen, you take the train from Oslo, and it's also a very scenic train route. Mm-hmm. It's voted one of the world's most scenic train journeys. In Bergen, you should check out the old Hanseatic town.
Oh, I didn't realize that the Hanseatic League went all that way up there. Okay, so old Germanic trading village. Okay.
Exactly. It's on the seafront, and it's a collection of old buildings that did trade in fish and just maritime trade in general. And you can walk around the buildings and get a feel about how it was back in the days, and also smell the tar. And yeah, it's a nice experience.
Smell the tar.
The tar from wooden boards that they make the buildings with are processed with tar.
Creosote,
so it gets
then.
A very distinct, a very distinct smell, which is also true for the stave churches. So I think Bergen was covered in one of your previous.
I should tell people we've done two episodes on Norway before, so think of this as a companion to those. We did one on Norway in general, which you're right, I think we covered Bergen there, and then we've also done one on the coastal sailing on the Hurtigruten up the coast of Norway, which is another trip that is on my wish list. So
yeah, and it starts in Bergen, so that's another reason to go there.
Excellent. So let's get out of town then.
Yes, and let's drive to Odda.
And Odda, as you said, is not a picturesque town itself, but you can get out from there. And where should we get out from there?
Yeah, the main reason to go to Odda, in my opinion, is to go to Trolltunga, which means the troll's tongue.
Okay. It's a peninsula?
No, it's a free-hanging rock that goes out from a mountain drop over a ravine that goes down into a glacial lake, which most of the time has a very clear blue color. It's very beautiful, and you can do it as a day hike from a start of point just outside Odda.
And this is one of those where people climb out on the rock and take the sort of pictures that would scare me to death. This is the.
Oh, I do not think anyone would dare to do it there. You can do a Via Ferrata up there. Do you know
what I do not.
That is? Via Ferrata, I think, means road of iron or something in Italian.
Okay.
And it's an iron rope that goes up the mountain. You climb it with a guide strapped onto the rope. There are also bars and handles that are hammered into the face of the mountain that you climb on. So it's a very unorthodox way of getting up to to the mountain. I haven't done it myself, so I don't know how much it costs or how long it takes, but you can check with a local tourist office.
Okay.
I should say that the local tourist offices are great in small places as well as big places in Norway when it comes to recommend hikes and places to get outdoors. So if you plan on doing anything like that, you should definitely check with one of the local tourist offices first.
Okay. And I'm going to say that in general, when you talked about this not being New York City, is the kind of person who should go to Norway is the person who doesn't even just want to ride around in the car and see the beautiful scenery, but get out and do some of the hikes.
Yes. But you can also, there are plenty of places where you can see nice scenery from the car as well. Mm-hmm. So if you're not able to do long hikes, you can easily get very nice nature experiences from your car as well. Or from just outside your car.
Okay.
If you want to go to Norway, you should go to Norway. That's what I'm trying to say.
And you're right. My parents enjoyed it, and they were, I'm sure, in their 70s by the time that they got to Norway. And, well, maybe not. Maybe the late 60s. But they still had a wonderful time, and I'm sure they didn't do the climb up the cables and things like that.
Yeah.
Excellent. Where should we go next?
From Odda, there's a very nice drive along one of the fjords that leads up to our next destination. The area there is called the Hardanger area, and that's where all the cherry and apple orchards and the raspberry fields are. When we were there, we stopped by the road where people were selling cherries and bought a basket of cherries and then drove some more and bought a basket of raspberries and just stopped and looked at the scenery. And it was very nice. There are no big must-sees along that road, but it's just a very scenic and nice road to drive. From there, we're going to skip a chunk of the countryside and then go to Nærøyfjorden, which is a fjord that is on the, as I said, on the UNESCO World Heritage List. Mm-hmm. You can do a cruise on the fjord and see it from the water, or you can do as we did to drive to a small village by the fjord called Underdalen. It has some very nice hikes that you can do and get some very nice views of the fjord. It also has the smallest stave church in Norway, so also another reason to go. Okay. And they have a local cheese production there. It could be interesting to try some of the cheeses there. We have a special cheese in Norway called brown cheese. I don't know if you have heard of that.
Yeah, I have heard of it.
Yeah, it's a very sweet cheese made from goat's milk or cow's milk, and they also make a variety of it there. So I would highly recommend stopping by Underdalen if you want to see Nærøyfjorden and don't want to pay the price of going on a cruise on the fjord. Sorry, I should say, when I say cruises, some of the cruises are like regular ferry trips from small villages to small villages, but they do cost a bit more than the normal ferry shuttles because there are not that many people that live in that area and they get their main revenue from tourists. So naturally it's a bit more expensive than the subsidized ferries along the other coastal regions. So from Nærøyfjorden, we drove to Lærdal or Lærdalsøyri. I called it the capital of salmon fishing. I don't know how accurate that is, but it does have a wild salmon center, which we thought were pretty cool to just walk around and learn about the history of early tourism to Norway in the early 1800s. Most of the people that came to that region were wealthy British lords who were called salmon lords in Norway because they bought the rights to fish salmon in different rivers. And it's a very nice exhibit of how the salmon lords lived in Norway, and also very interesting for us to read the letters they sent home about how poor and how underdeveloped Norway was back then. It was pretty interesting. And also you can see wild salmon there because they have a salmon stair.
Yeah, we would call it a fish ladder, but...
A fish ladder. So then you know what it is.
Well, I'm not sure that everybody has a mental picture, and stair is actually a better description.
Probably not.
But it basically is a place where the salmon can jump from one level to another and work their way back up the river.
Exactly. And also they like to stay in a place where the current is favorable. I don't know what a favorable current to a salmon is, but they've managed to make it favorable in that ladder they have there. And they put in on one of the sides a big window so you can sit and see or watch the salmon and also the trout. It's very nice, very relaxing just to see the wild salmon just outside the window. I would recommend that if you're in Lærdal. Lærdal also has a nice old town with old hotels and public buildings from the era where it became rich from the tourism trade in the 1800s. The main reason probably to visit Lærdalsøyri is to visit Borgen Stave Church. Now, there are several stave churches in both eastern and western Norway, but the one closest to Lærdal, which is called Borgen, is one of the nicest. You can visit it from Lærdalsøyri with a bus that runs from May 1st to September 30th. I checked on their website, and you can also email the visitor center there to get the latest schedule if you want. It's also a very nice area to cycle around. But yeah, so the stave church is located in the middle of a valley. It has mostly agricultural land around it, so it's easy to picture how the area looked like when the stave church was built. And it's also very dramatic scenery around it with steep hills going on both sides and valley being narrow, so you can get quite nice pictures there. And going on from Lærdal, we drove over a national park called Jotunheimen. This is the area where you can find most of the tallest mountains in Norway. The tallest mountain in Norway is 2,469 meters above sea level, so it's not it's not very
I'm surprised. Very tall. Yeah, I would have thought a bit taller than that.
Yeah, but the thing about Norwegian mountains is that they don't rise just as a small peak from a massive plateau. Right. They go from very low above sea level to very high above sea level, if that makes sense. So they maybe look bigger than they are. They appear bigger. There's a very nice road going over Jotunheimen from Lærdal to the other side of the mountain, and it's part of the National Tourist Roads. The National Tourist Roads are a collection of roads that the government have collaborated with architects and artists to make the roads more appealing to tourists. So you will find a very elaborate viewing points and artwork beside the roads. And also one place in Jotunheimen, there is just a path going straight into a grotto. And if you walk in there, there's a treasure chest with a stuffed bear on top of it. So if anyone are doing a road trip in Norway, if they're close to one, they should check it out because it might be worth the detour.
Are there one or two stops that we want to mention again from your itinerary? Just the two highlights that we haven't talked about so far.
Yes. The first is Geirangerfjorden, which is also a fjord on the UNESCO World Heritage List. It's a popular stopover from cruise ships, so it can get quite busy in summer. But there are some very nice views. If you arrive by car, you will come from the mountains and then look down into the fjord area with steep mountains going up from the fjord. It has a lot of nice viewpoints. It's a very popular tourist destination in Norway. The second place I'm going to mention is just outside Brønnøysund, a small village in northern Norway. I don't know how easy it is to get there without the car, but if you get the chance or if you're in the area, you should definitely try to see the mountain outside the village called Torghatten. As I said in the start, it looks like a hat with a hole in.
Those of you with the iTunes enhanced version know exactly what he's talking about because you're looking at it right now. But
Exactly. That was definitely a highlight for me because I've seen it on pictures before and always wanted to visit that place. And you can hike through the hole in the middle of the mountain and go to the other side, and there's a camping site or a camping ground on the spot. And it's just a cool place to see.
Now, you're from Norway. Were there places in this area that still surprised you?
Yeah, I guess when you look at things on a picture, you don't realize how much cooler nature is when you look at it with your own eyes. So that was probably the biggest surprise.
And I can completely understand that. As a photographer, I find it frustrating sometimes standing in front of a beautiful vista and just pointing my little tiny camera and trying to capture the whole thing, and you can't. So,
yeah, exactly.
We mentioned going in summertime. Are there particular days or festivals or things like that that we should be aware of in this area?
Yeah. First, I want to mention is our national holiday, which is the 17th of May. This is not particular for the coastal region, but I think it's best to see that in the biggest cities.
And this is a national holiday celebrating independence from Sweden?
Good guess, but it's our constitutional day.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so it's for celebrating our 1814 constitution.
Okay, it was a complete guess, so...
Yeah, no, but it was a good guess. It's more an independence of Denmark celebration.
And that was anything. My second guess, but okay.
Yeah. And people will dress up in their national costumes and be out in the parks and eat hot dogs and ice cream. And there are children parades going past the castle or royal palace if you're in Oslo. And it's just a nice feeling to be out and watching people on 17th of May.
Okay.
Because it's normally one of the first warm days of the year as well. Mm-hmm. So people are very happy and yeah, it's a good day. Other than that, Norway has a lot of music festivals, especially in the summertime. Since we've talked a bit about hiking and outdoor activities, there are two festivals that I can mention in particular. One is called Vinjerock, which is a rock festival in the middle of a national park in the middle of southern Norway, where you have to stay in a tent. As you obviously do that in a lot of other festivals. Mm-hmm. This is in the middle of a national park in amongst the mountains. So you hike and watch concerts.
Excellent.
And also there's one called the Extreme Sports Week, which is a music and extreme sports festival held in Voss, which is between Odda and Nærøyfjorden. And it's held in the end of June.
And music and extreme sports.
Yes.
Okay.
Best of both worlds. So if you're in the area, you can check that out. You don't have to do extreme sports to be there and just experience the vibe.
Cool.
And another festival that I should mention that is not a music festival is Holmenkollen Ski Festival in March. I forgot to mention that we have a ski jump in Oslo. And in March, we have a festival where there are World Cup ski jumps and also the classic 5 metric mile cross country. It's 50 kilometers.
Okay.
And it's always a lot of people out watching. So if you're in Oslo in March, and you should definitely try to see a ski jump competition or a cross-country competition.
Okay.
Because it's a big part of our culture.
Norway has a reputation of being fairly expensive for eating out. Any budget-saving tips for us?
It's not terribly expensive if you use programs or mobile apps like TripAdvisor or similar.
Mm-hmm.
You can find cheap places to eat, or it's not cheap compared to other countries, but you can eat out for not that much more than you eat out in other countries in Europe.
Okay.
In Norway, if we go somewhere, we normally pack lunch. So I would recommend if you go out on a long hike or anything and you don't know if you will be able to find anything cheap, try to bring some food. And try to buy your food at the big-ish supermarkets and avoid grocery shopping at, say, 7-Eleven or other places. I know that 7-Eleven in all countries and kiosks like that have groceries, but they do in Norway, but it's terribly expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen a lot of tourists buy stuff from there, but try to get it from the supermarkets. That's probably the best economic tip I can give you. And also drink your beer in the park if it's nice weather.
Instead of the bars.
Yeah.
Okay. We're talking about an area of great natural beauty. So I want you to picture that you're standing at the most beautiful spot you visited in your whole trip. Where are you standing? What are you looking at?
It's hard to choose, but maybe it's in the Underdalen area, looking at the Nærøyfjorden with the sun hitting the face of the mountain on the other side. And we're overlooking a narrow field that has been farmed in a traditional way where they put the hay up on poles to dry. That would probably be one up there.
Okay. So you're from Norway. Fairly proud of your country, I'm assuming. Finish this thought for me. You really haven't lived until you've come to Norway and done what?
You really haven't lived before you have come to Norway and done a hike.
What's your favorite hike in Norway?
I can't say I have one favorite. It depends on the season and the company and everything.
Let's say I come and I come in summer. What would you recommend?
Maybe the Odda Trolltunga hike.
Okay.
I said that you can do it in a day, but you can also spend the night there. It's a very, very nice hike. And it's not very strenuous if you do it over 2 days. And I should also mention that we have a law in Norway called the Outdoor Recreation Act, which says that you can walk wherever you want and put up your tent wherever you want, as long as it's not cultivated land. So that's also a money-saving tip if you're a backpacker or if you like to rough it. You can save a lot on accommodation.
Okay.
Also, you can park a camper van almost everywhere outside the cities, just on the side of the road without paying. It's
And even though when I go to Norway, I'm going to be able to get by in English just fine.
Yeah.
Can you help me prepare with the three words that I should know in Norwegian anyway? Hello, please, and thank you.
So hello is pretty easy. That's hello.
I think I can remember that.
Or hi. And please is three words. Vær så snill.
Vær så snill?
Yeah, vær så snill.
Okay.
Last one was thank you, right?
That was going to be tak.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. The only Danish I know is many ways to say thank you. Tusen tak, thousand thanks, and mange tak, many thanks. Tak for
the same
kom.
In Norway.
Yep, thanks for coming.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
Excellent. Best resources for planning a trip to Norway?
All depends on what kind of holiday you have or you want to have. If you want to do hiking, you can check out ut.no, mm-hmm. means out. It's the National Tourist Association. They put up the trails and maintain the trails in the mountains and the countryside. So that would be a good resource. Other than that, visitnorway.no and busesnorway.no and trainnsb.no. Because you should book these things in advance because they're not expensive if you book it in advance. But if you wait until the last day, it can get a bit expensive.
Before we get to our last questions, one other thing that you think we should know before we come to Norway.
Bring a student card, okay. If you have one, and do your research, as I said. So, because then you can get things very much cheaper and it doesn't necessarily have to be that expensive.
Excellent.
Oh, one thing I forgot to mention is that you can visit Norway all year round because the scenery is equally nice in any season. But if you visit in Christmas, you will find a lot of things closed.
Excellent. Last two questions. You listen to the show. You know these are coming.
Yep.
Finish this thought. You really know you're in Norway. And let's narrow that down. You really know you're in Western Norway. When what?
You really know you're in Western Norway when you stand on a ledge of a mountain and what you can see below you is just a glacial lake with the purest blue color you've ever seen. And you're so afraid that you're going to fall down to the ravine down beneath.
I think I'm not standing on that ledge, but... I have a tremendous fear of heights, I should say. So not in airplanes, but standing on that ledge, I think I'm a few feet further back.
All right.
And if you had to summarize Norway, Western Norway, in three words, what three words would you use?
I kind of made it sound like you shouldn't come if you're not interested in hiking, but I want to use the three words, something for everyone.
Okay.
Because there really is something you can do if you're not into hiking or not into the scenery or the great outdoors. You can also do a lot of cool things in the cities that we didn't get that much time to talk about. But yeah, I would use those three words.
Well, the tourism board will love you for that. So.
I know. Yeah.
Thanks so much for coming on and sharing us with your love of your home country of Norway.
Thanks for having me.
I think most of you who listen to the Amateur Traveler regularly don't go to the website on a regular basis, so I did want to let you know that in addition to our photos of the day and book reviews and articles that are usually up there, as well as links to the other travel podcast I do this week in travel, we also have an article from Eric Smith, who did last week's episode on Amsterdam, talking about bicycle travel in Amsterdam, giving you some details that didn't get into the show. So I think you'll enjoy that. Check that out. I got an email this week from Victor who said, hello, thank you for such a wonderful podcast. I discovered it some time ago and I started to listen from the first available episode. Now I've stopped at episode 191 and I plan to listen to them all. I really enjoyed listening to episodes about Tokyo, apparently I've missed a lot, and Siberia, since I'm from Omsk, Russia, the western part of the Siberia. I was bitten by the travel bug in 2011 and I like to do event-based travel. Unfortunately, I didn't find any event-based episodes, at least yet. Hope there will be some episodes about event-based travel in the Amateur Traveler. And I did write back to Victor, but currently there don't tend to be a lot of event-based episodes in the Amateur Traveler, and I thought I would tell you why. One of the reasons for that is with the show, what we find is that people listen right away, but then people continue to listen to the episodes years later.
And so we tend to focus on things with long-term value. And so, for instance, for shows that we recorded 5-6 years ago, we still get 100 downloads a month for them, which is great if you're a tourism board, by the way. And so, for instance, when the World's Fair, when the World's Expo was in Shanghai, we didn't do an episode on the World's Expo because most people wouldn't have been able to get there by the time we could talk about it. It was a little late to plan travel around it. So what we did instead is we did an episode on 3 day trips that you could do from Shanghai, which is still valuable content today. So that's really what we try and do. For the blog, as I talked about earlier, there's more things on the blog. We do more things about events on the blog than we do on the podcast. So for instance, coming up here in the next week or two is Zurifasht, and Zurifasht is an every 3-year event in Zurich that my family went to 6 years ago. And it's coming up here again in 2013, here around July 4th. And there is an article that went up here in the last couple weeks about the best Swiss festival that you've probably never heard of, Zurifasht. With that, we'll bring this episode of The Amateur Traveler to a close. If you have any questions, feel free to leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com, since, hey, you're going there anyway, or send me an email to host@amateurtraveler.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at Chris2X, and don't forget Viators, amateurtraveler.com/tours, to save yourself some money on your next trip. And as always, thanks so much for listening.